This podcast is brought to you by Good Governance Africa.
The potential of young people is the driving force, especially in Africa. Our population is said to be 40% of the world's young population in less than three generations. And these numbers, according to the 2017 United Nations Regional Situation Analysis Report, are expected to continue to grow in the next 50 years, while other continents are aging. Welcome to the Thought Bubble, everybody. And today we're speaking everything youth. I am Nhlakanipho Masemula, and I am not alone. Ma'am, ladies, rather, please introduce yourselves.
Yeah, hi everyone. Welcome to the Thought Bubble. My name is Mishka Musa, and this is the podcast where myself and Nipo will be getting into and thinking about the most critical, relevant, and topical issues related to governance with GGA's most informed, esteemed,
robust
researchers.
Lucy
COV and Chrissy Dubit. Would you guys please do us the honors and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your work at GGA? Chrissy?
Hi everyone, I am Chrissy Dubé and I head up the Governance Insights and Analytics team at Good Governance Africa, aka the engine of the organization. What we do is we deal with data, all things data, whether it's from a production perspective or a supporting perspective. We do support other programs visually as well as methodologically from time to time. What we also specialize in is our Africa Digital Data Bank that we refer to as the ADD.
Yeah.
We are comprising a data warehouse that will focus primarily on data in Africa because we feel that there is a gap and we can do better. So that's a project that's in the pipeline that everyone can look out for sometime soon.
And that's on GIA.
Ma'am? You're next.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having us here. I'm Musi COB. I am the lead researcher in the Natural Resources Governance Program. Our program essentially aims to improve transparency and accountability in the extractives industry within the SADC region. We also aim to enhance environmental, social, and governance performance and essentially mainstream social performance within the sector.
So as I've read the extract that speaks about the current state of the youth in Africa, Busi, could you please start us off and sort of unpack what we're going to be discussing in detail today?
Definitely. I think, guys, as a way of introduction, it's important to note that Africa has the youngest population in the world, with more than 400 million young people aged between 15 and 35. And because we have such a youthful population, it calls for us to increase investment in economic and social development factors to improve the development of our African continent, right? So I just want to touch base on what the African Union is doing in this regard. It has actually developed several youth development policies and programs at a continental level, right, that are aimed to ensuring the continent benefits from its demographic dividend, which is us young people.
Mm-hmm.
The policies include the African Youth Charter, the Youth Decade Plan of Action, as well as the Malabo Decision of Youth Empowerment, all of which are implemented through the AU Agenda 2063 programs, right? Mm-hmm. So the African Youth Charter, to give you a little bit of detail around this, protects young people from discrimination and ensures freedom of movement, speech, association, religion, ownership of property and other human rights, while committing to promoting youth participation throughout society, right?
Mm.
And I want to touch base on some of the key priority areas that the Youth Decade Plan of Action focuses on. One, which is what we'll be discussing here today, is around youth and skills development, youth employment and entrepreneurship, the second one. The third, being governance, peace and security.
Yeah.
And of course, youth health and sexual reproductive health rights being the fourth one. And then the last one is around agriculture, climate change, and the environment. And then I think another body worth noting that aims to fulfill this youth decade plan of action is the Pan-African Youth Union, right? Which is a coordinating body for youth organizations at the national, regional, and continental level. So the UPJ has a mandate for the African Union heads of state and has headquarters in the Khartoum in Sudan, and essentially is an advisory agency for the Youth Commission of the African Union and is currently supported by the African Union Youth Program. And they are competing at regional and sub-regional level with multiple organizations across Africa. And in order to get your membership within this particular agency is of the International Coordination Meeting of Youth Organizations and is recognized as the regional youth platform for Africa. So in 2016, the UPJ signed a cooperation agreement with the Commonwealth Youth Council to strengthen regional youth representation and to empower us, of course. And then on a more practical level, what they've done is they've basically put together a youth entrepreneur development agency, which was launched in October 2017. And this agency essentially provides training and tailored advisory support to over 600 young people who are entrepreneurs. They focus, though, on Kenya, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire to develop opportunities, particularly within a micro-retail sector. So, as you guys may know, that entrepreneurship presents a path toward economic independence for young men and women in Africa, particularly when formal employment opportunities are scarce. And we may be familiar with this with our unemployment rates in South Africa. And I know Chrissy will touch on this a bit later on. And the poverty rate among working youth is nearly at 70%. I think I'm going to hold it there for now to allow for the conversation to happen. And no, yeah, we can take
it. So many interesting things.
My mind is going.
This
just trying to process everything.
I didn't know that there was such a in-depth document that was part of the AU agenda. My question would be, in your opinion, do you feel like this is something that has a lot of buy-in from governments? Because we all know about the stat that in Africa there's just a really big youth unemployment problem, right? So youth voices, we know they matter. We know that, put that in the context of the fourth industrial revolution. And do you feel like these principles, they seem really great on paper, are the processes they're being taken up by governments? And if they're not, how do we move towards that? Because they sound that they need to be happening.
It's a beautiful concept. Are they actually
rates,
I think in theory, yes, the initiative makes sense and is important and is critical. And I think in terms of implementation, there's quite a lot that can be done. I think there is definitely buy-in from governments across the African continent, and not just government, but also industries, right? Business themselves. So I want to give you an actual case study regarding this agency, specifically around entrepreneurship and developing skills for people that are not formally employed within the workforce. So for instance, organizations such as TechnoServe and City Foundation are two of the partners with this particular initiative, and they scale up to basically improve the business models that can support these initiatives such as this agency. So they basically help pop-up stores, young people within the informal sector, improve their skill set from understanding how to make their businesses more profitable, right through to connecting them with other entrepreneurs.
And those are all super sustainable sources of empowerment.
Correct.
Really critical. I feel a lot of the time the conversation is we need to empower the youth, and then it's not things that are super long term that think about entrepreneurship. It's entrepreneurship, but then it's also a microeconomy in that community. And so that's very interesting.
Definitely, I think it is.
Earlier you mentioned South Africa's unemployment rate being extremely high, and I read somewhere that in as much as it's there skyrocketing, there seems to be no interest from the youth to go into entrepreneurship. Is it because these programs, like you've mentioned, are not in South Africa yet, or there's just no interest from the youth to go into that?
I think I want to start off by saying that there needs to be some form of participation and ownership from youth itself to see themselves and position themselves in a way that they can be have these opportunities and attract such training and formal ways in which they can improve their livelihoods. And for instance, with this Pan-African Youth Entrepreneur Development Agency, there is a plan to branch out within other African countries. Okay. Yes, I've mentioned that they started off with Kenya, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire. Yeah. But I think the plan is to make sure that countries such as South Africa are also put on the agenda and also prioritized for young people who are not employed in the formal workforce can find themselves through entrepreneurship opportunities, be able to connect with other entrepreneurs across other African countries, and also to provide knowledge sharing, training, and tools that could enable them to be successful in their own right.
Chrissy, do you want to add anything? Do you have questions to that insightful?
I think I totally agree with the Wusi in the front that there needs to be some initiative on the part of youth, and we shouldn't have an attitude of expecting things to be handed to us, but also show that we do have the capacity and the capabilities to be considered for such opportunities. So there does need to be more of a drive from the youth. Not that it's not there, it's just probably not targeted specifically at the opportunities that are available at a certain time. I think that one of the disadvantages of being in a developing economy is that most of the resources and planning around government is channeled to growing an economy. And by so doing, there is a degree of overlooking aspects of the economy like the youth. Yeah. So in fully developed economies, you'll see that programs and initiatives are done from a very young age, where you can find that children in Japan are already technically developing things from kindergarten, and children in Africa only get access to laptops at varsity. So I think that while African governments are trying to develop their economies, they are looking aside or not incorporating some of the aspects that may not seem as a priority at the time, but do ultimately impact the capacity of the youth or the children.
Can I just add, in the youth edition of African Fact, one of the contributors, Toby Shapshak, writes that the age between the average age of the rulers and the median age of the ruled is highest in Africa. He quotes the regional program coordinator with the UNDP Africa, Muhammad Yahya, as he points out that raises concerns about how well the rule makers understand the needs and aspirations of young people. Would you say that is the problem?
I think that from my perspective, I think public participation is very important when it comes to policy, and I'm a strong believer of that. Whenever policy needs to be revisited or structured or designed, I think that the people you are implementing that policy for should be consulted at some stage. So whether it is the youth, whether it is for the country as a whole, there does need to be some level of public participation, there needs to be some consultation, there needs to be some participation from the people who are influenced or impacted by that policy, and they have a say. And that just speaks to governance as well, where we are empowering people to make informed decisions. If they are involved, they will be exposed, they will learn about the things that are being discussed, and they will at least have a say or know how to prepare better in the future for future policy.
So I wanted to read an extract from Africa in Fact, 46, volume 46. The UNICEF report indicates that getting Africa's large proportion of young people work to a country's advantage. What? No. The UNICEF report indicates that getting Africa's large proportion of young people to work to a country's advantage requires certain conditions. These include the presence of essential services, skills enhancement measures, as well as measures that enhance social protection. So I wanted to ask you guys, what does the presence of essential services, skills enhancement measures, as well as measures that enhance social protection, what does that look like? Is it something straightforward, or is it for governments, or is it something that's a little bit more complicated? Let's unpack that.
I think it is a little bit of both, if I could fairly assess that. There are limitations with our education system, but it also speaks to the resources that are available at the time to fund those initiatives. It would be great for children to have access to technology as early as primary school, particularly in rural areas, because we do know that in private schools there is that facility. So it speaks to the need and the capacity. There is a need for it, but do our governments at this stage have the capacity and the resources, particularly financially, to channel budgets into such an environment?
If governments have a capacity issue, how are we supposed to go about empowering our youth and skilling them up?
So for me, skilled labor shouldn't only include tertiary education. You might find that there are children who are very good with their hands, who are technical, who can be mechanics, who can, be apprentices and a lot of other things, or people who are actually purely into green, who want to just do agriculture, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel that when we say skilled, we shouldn't consider skilled to be restricted to desk and office type of employment. We should be empowering the different types of youth according to, firstly, their talents and their interests. And that will generate employment not only for white-collar workers, but for the different professions across the broad spectrum of the employment industry.
Well, that was certainly a very interesting conversation. I guess you guys could say you gave me a lot to think about.
Yes, guys, please share your thoughts and follow us on our social media pages. And what do we say?
Happy Youth Day!
That's the one.